I am reading from John chapter 1, verses 40 and 41. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, yes, as your representative's Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit to be with us. For without that power, we can do nothing. So help us truly that we may be your representatives, living the life that we need here to hear. We know that sickness is going to come upon us, and destruction and disappointments, Father. But we know that with a surety, if we keep our eyes upon our Lord Jesus, that we will be triumphant and that we will live to be able to see our Savior coming in all of his glory, and that we will spend eternity with him. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yeah. If you would turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 19 and 20. 2 Peter 1. Verses 19 and 20. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto thee ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And then if you would turn to chapter 13 of Matthew. Matthew 13. Verses 16 and 17. Matthew 13, 16 and 17. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and for your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So we see that there. We know that every devoted Israelite that lived before Christ came longed to have that privilege and the opportunity to see Jesus. And it didn't matter whether they were prophet, priest, or king, or just an individual. Their one desire was to keep their eyes, put their eyes upon the Messiah. And God's prediction that the Messiah in person was to come at a definite time, they should have known or might have known. But we know that many of them did not. If they had studied the Word of God instead of heeding the traditions of men, they might have known that they would have been prepared to meet him. And I pray that as we are to know the Word of God also, that we are prepared to meet him. And we know that nearly 500 years before that, before Christ appeared in the flesh as the Messiah, there was a prediction that he would come. That the full force of that significance was not fully understood at that time, and it's not understood today either. But we pray that we are working on that. The time is fulfilled. What time? Is there a prophecy that the Jews might have known at that time so that they could be prepared for the Messiah? What greater event could take place in the world than the coming of the Messiah? Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. And there is a prediction that we find in the prophecy of Daniel, especially Daniel 9, chapter or verse 24, about the 70 weeks. We can see clearly the force of Christ's statement that time is fulfilled, as well as this day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. And a part of that part I want to talk to be of the 2300 year prophecy or day prophecy about the 70 weeks in Daniel 9:24, or as we say, 490 years. That part of the 2300-day prophecy that's given in chapter 8, verse 14. But in 9:24 that we can see there, if we turn there to Daniel 9. Daniel 9:24. We've read it, we've studied this prophecy many times. We see that, you know. And we see there in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. We look at this. The 2300-day prophecy has many time elements in it, as well as does it 70 weeks. We look at that 70 weeks. We see 7 weeks, or 49 years. 62 weeks, or 434 years. In 1 week, 7 years. We see that. And it was Daniel's prayer to know the meaning of this vision given him. And it was finally given at the time that it was to be given to him by the angel Gabriel. We'll look and see what's involved in the 70 weeks. We have a period here designated as 70 weeks, which were determined or cut off or decreed upon Daniel's people, the Jews. And during this period, there was 8 specific events that were to take place, and every one of them would be connected with the time specified. And the first one was the 70 weeks were cut off or decreed upon this people. That this period of time was allotted to the Jews, and at the end, which the Jews as a nation were cut off. And we see that as we continue and read and study Daniel and even the Revelation. The second, during this period, or ending with this period, the holy city would be cut off also. The temple, the house of God, the land, the city of the people who would no more bear the relation to God that was given to them, formally given it because they were the chosen people of God. Number three, the transgressions of the people would be finished, or as the Hebrew renders it, closed up or completed. That during this period, the Jewish people would reach the climax of their sins and their wickedness, in which there would the close of probation would end at that time. And we can see that in 2 Chronicles. If you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles 36. Verse 16. 36:16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no more remedy. And there wasn't. Their time was allotted. And there were to be no more God's people. See that? So we see that did happen. And then number four, to make an end of sins or to seal up. During this period of the 70 weeks, the sins offerings would be sealed, completed, and finished. The method also of forgiveness of sins through the blood of the animals were therefore come to an end also, because the doing away of these sin offerings at that time. Number five, to make reconciliation for iniquity. The atonement for sins, the forgiveness for sins. During that period of 70 weeks, the atonement for sins would be made. And this period would bring men who would have the forgiveness of sins. Number six, the bringing in of everlasting righteousness. During this period of time, everlasting righteousness would be brought in. That is, this everlasting righteousness would be brought into the people through the Messiah, who is to live forever. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ has no ending, no beginning, and he will live forever. Number seven, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, the vision concerning the 2300 days and concerning the prophet through whom the vision came, would be sealed up, certified, demonstrated during the 70 weeks. Something would occur during this period that would prove conclusively that this was a vision of God, as well as the man who gave it. You can read that in Luke 24:44. Let's turn to there. Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 44. Luke 24, 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And we know that all things that were written in the Old Testament came true, precisely as they were given, especially in Isaiah. See that? We see that the prophecy of the vision was confirmed because it found its glorious fulfillment in Jesus, the Messiah, which through him all things were fulfilled. And now number 8, the anointing of the Most High, or the Most Holy, that is, the Holy of Holies. The holiest of holy things and places would be anointed during this period. All these things were to transpire during the 70 weeks. So we see that there is much that was to happen during that 70 weeks. And we know that all of it did come true. Daniel was given that sweet testimonial from heaven as a man greatly beloved. And you read that in chapter 9, verse 23 of Daniel being beloved. And then in verses 25 through 27, the angel explains to David the commencement of this period of time. If you look at that, back to Daniel, verses 9, verses 25 through 27. Daniel 9 again, verses 25 through 27. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troubled times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall be cut off. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So we know that this was going to be poured upon the Jewish people and upon Jerusalem. We know that the time of these days was counted, and we know that it was counted from the time to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. We know that there was 3 different edicts given for the building of that, concerning the restoration of the temple and its completed services. But we know that the third decree issued by Artaxerxes is the one that fulfilled the prophecy in the fall of 457 B.C. 70 weeks in the 2300 day began to be counted at that time. And there in chapter 9, we see that where the angel divides the 70 weeks into 3 distinct periods. 7 weeks, or 49 prophetic days or years, were for the building of the wall of the city, verse 25. The 62 weeks after the 7 were to reach the Messiah, to the Messiah the Prince, verses 25 and 26. The 1 week during this period, the Messiah was to be cut off, and the sacrifices and offerings were to cease, verse 27. The literal fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah the Prince was to come in the fall of AD 27. And we know that it had happened. We were not there, and we take it by faith because we believe that the Word of God is truth. The Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. You see that? Don't have to turn to it, but Acts 10, verse 38, the first part. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And that same power that Christ had for the 33 years that he lived here upon this earth. We know that we can have that power today also from our Heavenly Father. We see that exactly 69 prophetic weeks, or 483 literal years from the fall of the, in B.C. 457, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, became the great Prince, Savior, and the Anointed of God. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Mark 1:15. When Jesus told him that the time of the end, their time was at hand, he was trying to point their attention to the prophecy of Daniel concerning himself. And this is the only scripture that has the definite time connected with the coming of the Messiah. We can see the meanings of the words of the Savior in Luke 19, verse 40 to 42, and the last part of 44. Let's turn there, I guess. Let's turn to Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 42. Luke 19, verse 42. Saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, in this thy day, the things which belongeth unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And then the last part of verse 44. Because thou knowest not the neck, not the time of thy visitation. And then Luke chapter 4, verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Verse 22 also of 4. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth. And then Galatians 4:4, if you turn there, that was our scripture meditation today. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And we see that that did happen. So we know that we are truly ready for, the people were not ready for his coming. Even the leaders knew, the religious leaders and rulers of that time knew that this was the Messiah, but they would not inform the people of it. For just why, we always know the reasons for that. They were afraid that they would lose their position as leaders. But it was truly a blessing to the Jews if they had been ready for them. But having understood this remarkable prophecy, and I pray that it's for us also today to understand this prophecy, and we know that we need to continue to study it and study it for us to find new things and new truths in all things. So that, and as we look at the 70th week there, the angel takes Daniel to the appearance of the Messiah, then says in verse 27 of Daniel 9 that the Messiah would confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. But in the midst of that week, he would be cut off. And as a result of that, there would be an ending of the sacrifices and offerings. And we see that that did happen. When the Savior began to preach, his work was holy among the Jews. And also the 12 and afterwards the 70 were commissioned to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6, and Luke 10, 1. Jesus labored among the Jewish people for 3.5 years, and then was crucified. Then the apostles carried on the work after the crucifixion until the persecution of the church of Jerusalem, Acts 8, 1. And that was also for 3.5 weeks. And that was the division of the 1 week, that last week of the 70th year. And this completed the 70th year. This was 490 years that the Jews were as a nation, by rejecting the gospel, were completely cut off, and along with the stoning of Stephen in AD 34, and the gospel went to the Gentiles. We know that the great clock of the time of God, as we read from the Bible and from the Word of God, that he does have a timetable. And the hour arrived for that momentous occasion then to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even having been predicted thousands of years before, we know that instantly the alarm rings and the work is done. And that's what's going to happen here in the end times. That alarm is going to ring and the work is going to be finished. And then we will be able to be with our Savior forever and ever. And we see that this prophecy was fulfilled. We can look at the eight events again and see where they are literally and faithfully fulfilled. Number one, by the Jews rejecting the gospel, the Savior told them that the kingdom of God was taken from them. It was given to another people who would bring forth the fruits thereof. Matthew 21, verse 43. And the Gentiles, formerly not a people, now they became the people of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Second, the day after Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, as he descended from the Mount of Olives, he said that their house, the temple, the sacred place of God's worship, had become desolate and was forever forsaken. Luke chapter 19, verses 37, 41, 43, 44. And then the next day he told the disciples that not a stone would be left upon another that should not be thrown down. Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2. And Mark 13, verses 1 and 2. Number 3, when the Jews clamored for the blood of Jesus, they were willing to have this blood upon themselves and upon their children. And they called for him to be crucified. They were told that all the righteous blood that had been shed, beginning with Abel, would be required of them. This cup of sins were fulfilled up for the nation of Israel when they crucified the Lord and stoned Stephen to death. And number 4, when Christ hung upon the cross and he cried, "It is finished," the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Luke 23:45. Showing that the sin offerings had forever ceased, because he, the great sin offering, was a fulfillment of them all. Christ was fulfilling the prophecies given in the scriptures of old. By his death, he brought forgiveness of sins to the Israel of old, to the Gentiles then, and to the world today. He made the atonement for the Jews and for the world. The forgiveness of sins that we know that only comes through Jesus Christ and him alone. Number 6, he was the righteousness of God. 1 John 2:1 and 1 Corinthians 1:30. Through his righteous life, he brought righteousness to every man, woman, and child that ever has been born or ever will be born. He is the righteousness of God, and by faith in him, in his blood, that we can have that faith. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 27. And his righteous life, we can all share the same gift as eternal life, that one day soon we will be with him, be able to hear from his very lips without fear, without damnation against us. So we see that. Number 7 is baptism, the length of time he preached, the rending of the veil of the temple, the warning of the disciples of the destruction of Jerusalem, and quoting Daniel to that effect. All went to prove the vision of God, and we see that it was true all the way. And the prophet of Daniel, Daniel was a messenger who gave this to men by the hand of the angel Gabriel. Number 8, when Christ left this earth and went to heaven, he entered upon his ministry, not in holy places made by hands, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 and verse 8. As long as the sanctuary services were conducted on here, the work in the heavenly sanctuary did not go on. But when the house was forsaken of its Lord and the type was fulfilled with the Antitype, then the holy places and the heavenly places were anointed for the work of the heavenly priest, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Verses 1 and 2. Chapter 8, 1 and 2. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is a sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. We see that the great theme of the Bible, of enough study, is a prophecy of the Word of God. The Jewish people are not studying about this period, that they were not prepared to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The neglect of the great themes of study, said the prophecy of the Word of God. They were looking outward for the kingdom to be brilliant and dazzling in its brightness. And no, they know that that did not happen. They did not receive it, for the kind of kingdom of which Christ was to set then would be located in the hearts of men. Yes, we'd have had that kingdom in our hearts. Luke 17, verse 21. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, and the glory of their power would be heavenly. We know that that power comes from heaven that we may have here now as we live here upon this earth, doing the work that Christ has asked us to do. The church of God today needs to know what is involved in a cleansing of the sanctuary. We will be studying that this next quarter. That is it not possible that the time of visitation to the church of God today has come, and it had came back in Jesus' times? We need to pray and study. We need to take heed, to watch, to take heed. Luke chapter 12, verses 37 and 38. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. So I hope that we continue to study the prophecies, 2300 day, and the other one time elements that are connected with that, especially with the 70 weeks, knowing for surety Jesus came at the appointed time.
Let us pray. Now from the God of glory, who can keep you from falling and bring you safe to his glorious presence, innocent and happy, to God, the only God, who saves through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory, majesty, authority, and power. And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.